Yeah, it's hard to follow, Sir Roscoe. Well, good morning. My name is T.W. Davis. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm excited to be here with you. I did youth ministry for almost 16 years, and in that time, I tried my best to teach students that the context of Scripture and biblical interpretation is crucial. If you want to understand the meaning of a text, the meaning of a verse, you have to look at the context. Who it's written to, why it was written, who wrote it, how does it fit into the verses before and after it, how does it fit into the book itself. You have to look at all these pieces. It'll give you insight as to the context, what you truly can get out of a verse. The Word of God is important. The Word of God is important to us at High Point. So if you don't have a Bible, we have some on the back table. You can use it today, and if you don't have one at home, take it home with you. It's our gift to you. Everybody should have access to the Word of God. And oftentimes, insight is difficult when we take verses out of context and use them. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6 is one of those verses. So we're going to look at that today. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. Makes total sense, right? There's got to be some life verses, right? This is somebody's life verse. You put that on your profile. Last week when we talked about there being logs and stuff in your eye, Cody surprised us all with a huge log as he walked out. The question in my mind was, does he have a live pig we can use this week? The answer was no. Plus, it felt like a lot of effort to get a live pig in here. As much as I know Nina loves live animals. It was also too expensive to get pearls and give one to all of you in an effort for illustration. So pretend I gave you a pearl and be thankful. At first glance, this seems like a very odd verse. In fact, at ninth glance, this seems like a very odd verse. People have come up to me and asked me what this means as recently as this week without knowing that this is what I'm preaching on. But we'll see context helps us understand what it means. And this verse can shed some light on the context of the following verses as well. And hopefully we'll be able to make some headway on things that you potentially have not thought about when it comes to those verses. So what in the world is Jesus talking about here? Well, first, if you look at the context, he's just been talking about judging, right? Judging people, judging actions. If you were here last week, we looked at verses 1 through 5. How Jesus commanded us not to judge, which we saw doesn't mean actually that we're never to identify whether something is right or wrong. If Scripture is clear about it, it's that we're not supposed to judge hypocritically or based on incomplete information or based on things the Bible is not clear about. Jesus then clarifies the meaning of what he says with the next verse, verse 6, which I'm going to call our dog and pig verse from now on. All right, so when I refer to the dog and pig verse, this is the verse I'm talking about. And I would ask that if I have a challenge, if there's any way in your normal life this week you could incorporate quoting this verse completely out of context and just watch somebody look at the face you're going to I would love to hear that story. So if you get a chance to do that, I'm all ears. But Jesus shows us here that we're not actually supposed to exercise that we are supposed to exercise judgment in the best sense of the word. We're supposed to distinguish. We're supposed to be discerning. He says, don't give what is holy to dogs. Don't throw your pearls before pigs, which again is a fun saying. And I have to say, first of all, Jesus is not telling you how to feed your pets. That is not what this verse is about. I did not read a commentary that said that, but I feel obligated just to make sure that we've eliminated that possibility. Jesus is talking about spiritual truths with word pictures here. So saying he's saying that you wouldn't give holy food, maybe meat or maybe bread that has been sacrificed or presented to God, to a dog. And when they speak of dogs in the Bible, we're not talking about Miss Fluffy that sits on your lap in your recliner with a big pretty bow in her head that you're happy to feed out your mouth probably. That is not the dog we're talking about. These are stray dogs that are street dogs that are wild. And from Jesus' time all the way until the Civil War, after the Civil War, Mark Twain was touring the Middle East and went to Constantinople, which ended up being what? Who remember? Who knows? Istanbul, thank you. Constantinople, before it came Istanbul, he goes there, and this is what Mark Twain said about visiting that city. Those dogs are the scavengers of the city. They eat anything and everything that comes in their way, from melon rinds and spoiled grapes up through all the grades and species of dirt and refuse to their own dead friends and relatives. Yet they are always lean, always hungry, always despondent. He said that they were in possession of the streets. When Jenny and I went to Istanbul, I didn't see very many dogs. But what I did see was an insane number of cats. Everywhere. In the mosques, in the market, in people's houses. They just roam free. And sometimes it stinks because of those cats. And guess what? They don't seem to mind. That's just life. That's just how it is. So with that picture in mind, you would not take holy food that has been sacrificed to the God that you love, bread that stood in the presence of the Lord in the temple, and toss it to these wild dogs. That would be sacrilegious. Jesus also uses another word picture. Don't throw pearls to pigs. My dad worked at Eckerd's. I don't even have that here. Like a pharmacy. He worked at a pharmacy in high school, and then a little bit afterwards. And so he worked hard at that pharmacy. And for my parents' wedding, he bought my mother a string of pearls to wear at their wedding. My mom has kept those pearls. She wore them at my wedding. If my brother ever gets married, she'll probably try that too. But, you know, I got my doubts. But my mom worked hard. I'm sorry, my dad worked hard for those pearls. His hard-earned money went to buy something special for my mom for a special occasion. She loves that necklace. Less than Thomas, but more than me. But she loves that necklace. And you could not take that necklace from her. She would not take that necklace that was bought with sacrifice. Give it to a pig in a pen. It'd be a waste. The pig wouldn't appreciate that necklace and what it represents and what it means any more than it would an old corn cob or a stick. And that's the point here. I need to tell you, Jesus isn't talking about animals. He's talking symbolically. He's talking spiritually. He's saying, don't give holy things to people who don't appreciate them. He's saying, don't toss precious things before people who are just going to waste them. See, in this light, where we hear about Jesus talking about judging, it gives context and helps us understand about last week. Matthew said, don't judge. He's not saying don't distinguish between right and wrong, good or bad. He's saying use discernment in making decisions, to distinguish whether someone is doing right or wrong. And this verse proves that point. Because Jesus is saying, don't give what's holy to dogs. Don't throw pearls to swine. He's telling you, do use judgment and discernment. You need to be discriminating in the best sense of the word. You need to distinguish between good and bad, right and wrong. You need to make good judgment calls, don't give precious treasures to people who don't appreciate them. He's commanding us to exercise spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment is something that Jesus lived out. He didn't treat everybody the same. He didn't treat everyone alike. He didn't waste spiritual treasures on people that didn't have a taste for them. But those who were spiritually hungry, he poured into them God's word. For example, he was on trial before the crucifixion. They brought him before Herod, who was an evil man. And Luke 23:8 says that Herod wanted to see Jesus do something. I have this vision of Jesus standing there in handcuffs and Herod with a stick poking him, going, "Do something. Dance, monkey, dance." To entertain him. And it says the Bible says that Jesus answered him nothing. The soldiers and Herod dressed him up, mocked him, and Jesus literally did nothing for them. Nothing. He wasn't going to share his holy power, his truth, with people who were just going to mock it. He wasn't going to give what was holy to a dog. He wasn't going to throw his pearls before swine. So Jesus is telling us in this verse we need to exercise discernment. We should be witnesses to those who are open to listening to us. But if you've done any amount of evangelism, you have to know that there are times when you can tell people are just not wanting to hear it. That they are potentially going to mock what you are saying. And you realize, I don't have to say anymore. I'm wasting my time. I will not throw my pearls before swine. The Apostle Paul modeled this a couple times in the book of Acts. In Acts 13, Paul and Silas were preaching in Antioch, and the Jews came up to them, and they were contradicting them. They were blaspheming them, saying that they were blaspheming. And Paul and Silas looked at them and said, "Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." Basically, they're saying, "We're not going to stand here and keep throwing our pearls before you pigs. We're not going to waste precious things of God on those who don't appreciate them any more than a street dog would appreciate holy bread from the presence of God at the temple." Jesus told his apostles the same thing when he sent them out on their preaching mission. There comes a time when you got to shake the dust off your sandals and move on. Take the gospel where it needs to be heard. Don't waste precious things on those who don't appreciate them. Now, there are lots of applications for this now, in our lives now. When you're talking about Jesus to people, pay attention. Pay attention to who you're talking to. You can tell when they're ready to hear the gospel and when they're not paying attention and when they won't appreciate it. That's what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 7:6. Use discernment. Don't just indiscriminately throw good things, the things of God, before those who don't want it or won't appreciate it. Use good judgment. Use discernment. But absolutely keep praying for those people. Absolutely keep praying for them. Discernment is a good word for us. It's a good word for us as we learn to as we seek to give in light of all the many needs in our world today, we need to be judicious, discerning on how we give. Don't just toss your money anywhere where our resources are limited to what God has given us. And they're God's resources anyway. We need to give where it's used wisely, where it will advance the kingdom of God. At High Point, we evaluate and vet rigorously, probably more than my missions committee wants to, the missions that we support. We make sure they're using our money wisely. We see them as part of our family, a part of our church, an extension of our church. We visit them. We love on them. We pray for them. On a personal level, I'm calling for you not to give your money to some charity who's just going to use that funds on television ads. We are in the middle of a community that loves people, loves to help people. We have community ministries that we support. We have ones that were started right here in this church, and we know they benefit people. If you want to know who our church trusts with your money, and you can trust with your money, talk to anybody on our staff. Talk to anybody on our missions committee. They have those answers for you. We have vetted many ministries. And Jesus is saying, be discerning. Don't throw away your money. Don't throw away your witness in places that it's going to be wasted. Don't give what's holy to dogs. Don't throw your pearls before pigs. Use judgment in the best sense of the word. Be wise and exercise spiritual discernment. So when you look at verse 6, the way we just saw it, our dog and pig verse, then these next two verses might mean something a little different to you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, it will be opened. Most of us have heard this before, asked, and it'll be given to you. I mentioned last week that there are a lot of verses from Matthew, especially the Sermon on the Mount, that people take out of context, and it should pain you to hear it. And this is one of those verses. This verse does not say, ask God for anything, and it will be yours. That is not what this verse says. Because if it did say that, a lot of us would be living a lot of different lives than we do now. We have prayed for things that we have not gotten because God deceived. Nope, now you ain't ready. But in this context, I want you to think about it this way. Jesus just said, don't give what is holy to dogs. Don't throw your pearls before pigs. But what? Ask. And it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. Jesus isn't just changing the subject here, like some people think, or your Bible might have divided it that way. These verses are related. And it has to do with how we're going to get the things that we need. See, as humans, as fallible people, there are times when we need something and we go about it the wrong way. We appeal to the wrong source. Sometimes we compromise to get it faster. And in a way, that's basically throwing your pearls before pigs. Just like Jesus is talking about. So what should we do instead? Jesus says, don't give what is holy to dogs. Don't throw your pearls before pigs. Ask. And it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. And then in 9 through 11, he uses the illustration of the father. Or which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? But you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Father, who's in heaven, give good things to those who ask? On a personal level, I'm extremely blessed to have had a loving and caring family, parents and grandparents, who care about me, who help me. They've given me gifts. They've given me advice. They've given me help. They've saved me from some mistakes. Because that's what family is supposed to do. That's what family is supposed to do. They would not give me advice to make things worse on purpose. I still may get bad advice, but it's not because it was on purpose. The gifts they gave me weren't meant to hurt me, but to help me or to give me joy. And if our parents, our families are full of humans who are fallible and sinners, and they're still capable of giving us good things that help us, that benefit us, how much more are the gifts from God a blessing? See, Jesus contrasts the compromise of verse 6 with the asking of 7 through 11. He's saying, don't grovel before worldly, compromised people to get what you need. You go to God. You ask Him. He is your Father in heaven. And we've talked about this before in the Sermon on the Mount, how over 14 times Jesus uses the term Father to refer to God. He's emphasizing that God is our Heavenly Father. And here He says, He, your Heavenly Father, is the one you should be going to seek your needs. Don't compromise with the world. Don't throw your pearls before pigs. Seek God. He is your Father. Look to Him instead. There are examples of this in the Old Testament. 2 Kings 25, Israel is threatened by Babylon. And they didn't repent of their sin, which was the problem. They didn't repent of their sin. They didn't ask God for help. Their king, Zedekiah, sent messengers to Egypt and said, can we form an alliance? You got a bigger army than we do. That'd be great. They asked their army to help. They went to Egypt, this idolatrous nation that worshiped the sun and frogs and all kinds of ungodly things. And God's people were going to them for help instead of God. And God said to them, don't lean on that broken reed, Egypt, for help. He's telling them, in effect, don't throw your pearls before swine. Ask me. I am supposed to be your God. Look to me for help. But they didn't. And if you know biblical history, it didn't go well for them. Later on, after they'd been in captivity, Israel had been in captivity for years. Ezra is then told he can leave with a group of God's people to go back to Jerusalem. It's a long trip. There are other armies between them and Jerusalem. There are bandits. There's desert. And the king says, I will give you an army to keep you safe and horsemen to get you there. And Ezra looks him in the eye and says, Nah, we're good. He said, God is with us. He said, we aren't going to seek protection from this lost king. We're going to fast and pray and seek protection from the king. And they did. And God brought them all the way back to Jerusalem safely. See, Ezra didn't want a lost king. He didn't want to seek help from a lost king here on earth. He was looking to his God in heaven instead. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Don't look to ungodly resources to give you the help that God wants for you. Don't throw your pearls before swine. Ask and it'll be given to you. God is your Father and He will meet your needs. In every area of our lives and ministry, all the ministries we have, we need to learn to ask for what we need from our Heavenly Father every day. Every day. This is the importance of daily prayer in your life every day. And among other things, when you have your morning prayer time, I need you to lay your requests before the Lord. Jesus modeled the model prayer, and we're to use that as our guide. And in doing that, the principle of pandering to the wrong sources goes away. Asking God for things, not just our needs, not just about politics, not just about money, but about our salvation as well. It bothers me and it saddens me that there are so many people who are earnestly searching for spiritual help and salvation, and often they subject themselves to all kinds of evil characters who demand things from them. They're deceivers who are about self-promotion and greed. Send us your money and then I'll pray for you. Most people know this past Tuesday was Halloween. It was also another very special holiday, my father's birthday. But on top of that, almost as important, Reformation Day, right? Reformation Day. October 31st, 1517 is the day when the German monk Martin Luther nailed his protest to the church door, and he's protesting wrong doctrines and practices of the Catholic Church. And one of the big ones that he wrote this in response to is the idea of indulgences. And there was a preacher at the time, a Catholic preacher at the time, and his name was Johann Tetzel. Johann Tetzel, and he was going around collecting indulgences from the church. And if you don't know what indulgence is, he's saying, hey, if you will pay this amount of money, a certain amount of money, then automatically your loved one who is already dead will then be out of purgatory and into heaven. So give me that money, and I'll get them out of purgatory. That's what he's saying. His message, it has a ring to it, and it's kind of sad, but it has a ring to it. He said, the moment the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. That was his message. See, religious charlatans didn't originate in the 1900s. In 1500, it was still a thing. Luther couldn't stand the abuse of his people, so he started protesting with this paper that he wrote, and he nailed it to the door, and the Reformation began. But I'm here to tell you, the spiritual abuses of people who are seeking salvation haven't stopped since that day. There are still people out there that we call prosperity preachers, and they tell you if you send money to them, then you will get an anointed prayer cloth, and that will heal you. They gather desperate people into rallies. They promise them healing and salvation. And it's to these false prophets that Jesus is saying to us about them. He's saying, do not give what is holy to dogs. Don't throw your pearls before pigs. Don't look for help and salvation with these religious charlatans who are just going to turn and tear you to pieces, who are going to take your money and then use and abuse you. So how are you to be saved? Jesus says, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. Look to God. Look to your Father in heaven to do for you what no one else can do. If you are desperate to be saved today, you have things that you need to unload, unbear yourself, burden yourself, don't look to me. And don't look to this church. Don't look to classes and programs. And for God's sake, don't look to religious deceivers. Look to God. Because God said, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. You've sinned against God. You are lost. You can't do anything to save yourself. But remember, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay for your sins. And he rose from the dead. And he said, whoever would call, and he said this, whoever calls on me, I will save. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So call on him. Ask him. Seek him. Knock on the door of heaven and ask your Father in heaven to do for you what no one else can do for you. You can't do it for yourself. Look to him for salvation and guidance. This morning, when we have shepherds up front, people who are willing to pray for you and to listen to you, it is not because they are going to anoint you and save you. It is not because they have some kind of special prayer that you just haven't heard yet. No magic words. They are there to pray with you and for you, knowing full well that God is the answer. And God is in charge. It's no coincidence that the Gospel of Luke repeats the words of verse 11, but Jesus said it a little bit differently. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How are you to be saved? How are you to be forgiven? How will the Holy Spirit come into your life? I'm telling you, do not throw pearls before some swine of the world and a false teacher. Ask God to save you. Ask God to forgive you and send his Holy Spirit to you. Ask your Father in heaven and you will be saved. Dogs and pig verse. Don't give what's holy to dogs. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Use discernment. Don't seek from ungodly people and from worldly sources what you should be looking to God for. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. Seek what you need from your Father. Your Father in heaven, who loves you and wants to provide everything you need, salvation, and everything else too, if you'll just ask him.